All roads lead to Rome. We started this series about 3 months ago, and I want to show you where we are today. Today, episode 5, part 1, should be released around 5 o'clock. Maybe a little later, maybe a bit before that. We'll see. Episode 5, part 2, which will be the video episode, you won't want to miss either of them, will be released next Thursday. As you can see, we've done 4 massive videos on this particular topic and covering the Club of Rome and their connections to the United Nations and how they really do control a lot of what we're seeing play out right now. We have a few more episodes to go after this. We should be finished with this series around May. As always, scheduling can change. It depends on the amount of research that comes up with each episode. So that said, make sure you check this out. Become an exclusive member to our website. Support independent investigative journalism for as little as $3 a month. Go to christiantruther.com/info for more information. You won't want to miss this series. 11 deeply alarming facts about America's crumbling infrastructure. Again, with the infrastructure. The infrastructure is key to life, absolutely. But there's 2 types of infrastructure. One is good and one is bad. The bad infrastructure is what we're worried about and what we're probably going to see come out, especially all of the information that's been released about infrastructure has to do with tunnels and things, because Elon Musk is going to be building tunnels under Los Angeles and, of course, starting there. Our infrastructure in America is failing. It's crumbling. It needs a remodel. It needs a builder. Convenient timing for a builder to sit in the White House, wouldn't you say? Now, that said, the infrastructure we're highly concerned about, and we all need to be paying attention for. Look, I can't look at every single city and judge the architecture or just see exactly what's taking place. So we're going to need your help to identify the infrastructure and the remodel when it does actually start. There's about a $1 billion bank that's been given to this particular field. Sorry, I lost my train of thought. The infrastructure we're concerned about is the elitists want to build these mega cities. They want to build these global cities. And we're going to see them build this up. We've seen all the infrastructure from the cities that practically run themselves, which of course is all in line with the sustainable development agenda. And of course, we'll see what happens with what Trump does. But we've seen some of the proposals already from world thinkers, world advisors, if you would, or think tanks. And of course, it looks terrible. We're talking FEMA trains and the whole nine yards. And that's what we're kind of concerned about, because the next remodel that America does get, it could be its last. Don't get me wrong. There needs to be a remodel. Don't get me wrong. Our infrastructure is failing. I think I read an article yesterday. I think it was about 50 plus bridges in America that were well below standards. That's terrible. I think it was well over 52. But anyways, no matter what your particular political perspective is, if there is one thing that virtually everyone in the United States can agree upon, it is the fact that America's infrastructure is crumbling. Previous generations of Americans conquered an entire continent and erected the greatest system of infrastructure that the world had ever seen. But now thousands upon thousands of those extremely impressive infrastructure projects are decades old and in desperate need of repair or upgrading. The near catastrophic failure of the Oroville Dam, we'll get to that in a minute, is a perfect example of what I'm talking about. Not me, this is Michael Snyder. We should be constructing the next generation of infrastructure projects for our children and our grandchildren, but instead we are in such sorry shape that we can't even keep up with the maintenance and upkeep of on the great infrastructure projects that have been handed down to us. Number one, according to the American Road and Transportation Builders Association, nearly 56,000, yeah, I thought it was a little bit more than 50 bridges. I had the 50 right, though. 56,000 bridges in the United States are currently structurally deficient. What makes that number even more chilling is the fact that vehicles cross those bridges a total of 185 million times a day. 56,000 bridges need to be rebuilt or remodeled or fixed. because people cross them 185 million times every day. Number two, more than one out of every four bridges in the United States is more than 50 years old and have never had major reconstruction work. Now, look, I'm not trying to scare you into not crossing bridges, but this is alarming. America does not have a single airport that is considered to be in the top 25 in the world. The average age of America's dams is now 52 years old. Not too long ago, the American Society of Civil Engineers gave the condition of America's dams a D grade. Overall, the American Society of Engineers said that the condition of America's infrastructure as a whole only gets a D-plus grade. Congestion on our highways cost Americans approximately $101 billion a year in wasted fuel and time. According to the U.S. Department of Transportation, over two-thirds of our roads are in dire need of repair or upgrades. In order to completely fix, all of our roads and bridges, it would take approximately $808 billion. Now, I believe that they already had a $100 billion bank or something of that matter that they were going to designate to infrastructure. Now, that's not enough. The federal spending on infrastructure has decreased by 9% over the past decade. According to Bloomberg, it is being projected that by 2025, shortfalls in infrastructure investment will subtract as much as $3.9 trillion from U.S. gross domestic product. We're due for an upgrade. There's no doubt about it. There's no denying it, whatever you want to call it. But we are worried and concerned about what it's going to look like. Now, there is no other... Let me rephrase that. To showcase the concern about infrastructure, all you have to do is look at Oroville. Oroville is an excellent example for how bad it is. Just 12 years ago, they were warned that the dam might fail if something like this ever took place. Now, of course, as you guys know, the levels have all gone down a bit, and it looks like it was getting better, but now major storms are approaching Southern California. Major storms are approaching California. Meteorologists are warning Southern California is about to get hit with what could be the biggest rainmaker in 6 years. Urban flooding, mudslides, strong winds, and heavy snowfall are expected as two successive storms hit the region Thursday and Friday, February 17, 2017. On Friday, there could be rainfall rates of 25.4 millimeters, or 1 inch, per hour. Storm will approach the West Coast for early next week, followed by another one, possibly for midweek next week, NWS warned. Stay away from canyons, burn areas, streams, washes, rivers, and dry riverbeds. Now, here's just another article to confirm that. Storm headed to Oroville Dam area carries 10 inches of rain, revised forecast. Spillway repairs at the troubled Oroville Dam will get their first major test this weekend as meteorologists have revised their forecast and are now predicting a much wetter and warmer storm outlook. Light to moderate rain began falling across Northern California early Thursday and will likely continue for several days, according to the National Weather Service. However, the situation will change substantially Sunday when a larger storm arrives at Oroville and the Feather River Basin. It looks like it's going to be a pretty good rainmaker, said NWS meteorologist Mike Smith. You're looking at 10 inches from Sunday night to Monday night. So just how prepared are they? FEMA suppliers arrive at Travis Air Force Base in case of Oroville emergency. Again, with the infrastructure, we're looking for, of course, how FEMA is going to integrate itself with urban infrastructure. As we see, a lot of the modern, I hate using this word, like the wording, modern warfare, the militaries have all been preparing and planning for mega city warfare. And what that means is basically the armies currently in this day and age are not prepared to fight in mega cities. So we have FEMA who would potentially integrate itself into the mega cities for FEMA camps and so on and so forth. And then we'd have the armies, of course, training and getting ready to lock down mega cities. Trucks carry cots, food, supplies, and blankets. Big rigs filled with with emergency supplies from FEMA have been arriving at Travis Air Force Base since Wednesday night. Cots, blankets, water generators, said Colonel Mike Hames, Senior Director for FEMA's Region 9 of the Air Force EPLO, Emergency Preparedness Liaison Officers. Hames' job is to help coordinate this partnership between the Air Force and FEMA. Now, of course, we all know what took place at Katrina. They appear to be doing good things, and then they do totally bad things. That's just how it goes. Trump, this is reported earlier today, but Trump apparently mulled using 100,000 troops to round up immigrants. However, this is supposedly fake news. The Associated Press, as you can see in the tweet here, I might need to snapshot that because they probably will delete it, but the Associated Press came out and said that the Trump administration is considering mobilizing as many as 100,000 National Guard troops to round up unauthorized immigrants or illegal immigrants. Now, this isn't really that big of a shocker. Bush and Obama did the same thing. But all of a sudden, everybody, of course, is going to pretty much, you know, lose it because, oh my goodness, National Guard. However, 100,000 National Guard troops on our streets. Troops on the streets. Supposedly for unauthorized immigrants. Does anybody get where I'm going with this? Troops on the streets. Sound familiar? It's the exact things that we've been warning about, except for it wasn't for illegal immigrants. It was for FEMA. It was for martial law. So what would take place? There were so many people that tweeted. Let me see if I can't just pull this up really quickly here. There were so many people that were responding to this tweet. Are they gunning for, what's it called? Civil war, civil unrest, so on and so forth, concentration camps. There are so many people that are responding to this. It only looks like this is what the end game is with it. They're trying to figure out how, or I shouldn't say trying to figure out how, but they're trying to bring about, of course, concentration camps, FEMA camps, and so on and so forth under martial law. We know this. That's been the game for a long time. We've exposed it many times. Half of this YouTube channel's videos have been dedicated to exposing martial law. However, with this particular tweet, because they have a supported memo, or a supposed memo, stating this. But according to the White House, they totally denied it. The White House on Friday denied it was considering mobilizing as many as 100,000 National Guard troops to round up non-citizens who are in the country illegally. Now, as far as who's right, who's wrong, we're seeing a lot of fake news flying around. Who really knows? The division and the disinformation, it's got to stop. It has got to stop. This covert warfare going on between intelligence agencies and, of course, the supposed Trump administration, it could not be between them. It could be all this blanket of disinformation just to try and keep us all distracted. You never really know. Keep that in mind. It's got to stop. We have to figure out what's really going on and what he's actually doing. Again, it's very important. The infrastructure is one avenue that's extremely important. But for the Associated Press to make a total claim like this, I mean, that's a strike at their credibility. If the administration If the administration is lying, that's a pretty big strike at the Trump administration. NASA satellite spots mile-long iceberg breaking off of Antarctic glacier. A massive one-mile-long chunk of ice has broken off Antarctica's fast-changing Pine Island glacier. And NASA, which of course is a bunch of liars as well, satellites captured the dramatic event as the icy surface cracked and ripped apart. The Pine Island glacier is one of the largest glaciers within the West Antarctic ice sheet, accounting for about 20% of the ice sheet's total ice flow to the ocean, according to NASA scientists. The immense glacier is also one of the least stable, and in recent years, the ice sheet has been quickly retreating and losing massive amounts of ice. Previously, icebergs the size of cities have broken off of the Pine Island Glacier. The glacier's last major ice break, an event known as calving, was in July 2015 when an iceberg measuring almost 225 square miles or 580 square kilometers separated from Pine Island Glacier. The Earth-watching Landsat-8 satellite captured images of the latest iceberg event between January 25th and the 29th, seeing their progression from the initial crack to the iceberg floating into the bay. China says common interests outweigh differences with the U.S. The common interests between China and the United States far outweigh their differences, China's Foreign Minister Wang Yi told U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson on Friday in their first face-to-face meeting since Tillerson took up his job. U.S. President Donald Trump angered Beijing in December by talking to the president of Taiwan and saying the United States did not have to stick to the One China policy, under which Washington acknowledges the Chinese position that there is only one China and Taiwan is a part of it. In a phone call with the Chinese leader Xi Jinping last week, Trump changed tack and agreed to honor the One China policy, a major diplomatic boost for Beijing, brooks no criticism of its claim to self-ruled Taiwan. So we have China now apparently agreeing with Trump and saying, you know what, our interests outweigh the differences. The alliances are constantly shifting. There's always this in a multipolar world order. We see it go from total division to just this weird unity and where things are finally going to work. But then all of a sudden, at the turn of a page or a day, it drops right back off again. The division is what we all need to be paying attention to as well. Six Trump aides marched out of the White House for failing national security background checks that asks about drugs, arrests, and money woes. Six White House staffers were marched out of the building on Thursday after they failed national security background checks. Politico reported that the unlucky half dozen included one who was the president's director of scheduling. Caroline Wiles is also the daughter of Susan Wiles, a former chief of staff to Florida Governor Rick Scott and the Trump campaign's director in Florida. Politico reported that Wiles has told friends she will be reassigned to a job in the Treasury Department. Wiles had been Trump's campaign scheduling chief from July 2016 until his victory. She held the same position on Governor Scott's 2010 gubernatorial campaign. It's unknown who the other five dismissed aides are. One White House source told DailyMail.com it's common knowledge that two of them were expected to take positions in the National Security Council staff. Aides in the White House who need security clearances to do their jobs are required to complete a background check based on a lengthy questionnaire known as Form SF-86. The paperwork is used as a starting point for investigators to probe their finances, criminal records, ties to terrorism and foreign governments, past use of controlled substances, history of alcohol abuse, and other factors that could compromise their ability to serve the president. So that's very interesting. Six of them were marched out. The State Department carries out layoffs under Rex Tillerson. Now, as we saw, there's been some confusion about this incident. They were ordered by the White House to step down. It was not like they did it on their own accord, as CNN and all of them tried to make us all think. They were ordered to step down. We're seeing a total clean house come from the Trump administration. In other words, people are being cleaned out. And of course, these leaks are coming from people who are probably going to be cleaned out. While Rex Tillerson is on his first overseas trip as Secretary of State, his aides laid off staff at the State Department on Thursday. Much of 7th floor staff who work for the Deputy Secretary of State for Management and Resources and the Counselor offices were told today that their services were no longer needed. These staffers in particular are often the conduit between the Secretary's office to the country's bureaus, where the regional expertise is centered inside the State Department. Some officials fear that this is a politically minded purge that cuts out much needed expertise from the policymaking rather than simply reorganizing the bureaucracy. There are clear signals being sent that many key foreign policy portfolios will be controlled directly by the White House rather than through the professional diplomats. Not a single State Department official was included in the White House meetings with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu this week. Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, who has no regional expertise or diplomatic experience, had a greater role in the meeting than the Senate-confirmed Secretary of State. Big Zucker is watching. Facebook boss Mark Zuckerberg hints at secret plans to use artificial intelligence to censor and spy on its users. They already do it. They already do it. It's going to get worse. It's going to get a lot worse. Social Media Supremo appears to have accidentally revealed scheme to monitor private communications. They already do it. Mark Zuckerberg appears to have accidentally revealed plans to use artificial intelligence to spy on Facebook users' private messages in a bid to combat terrorism. They already do it. I don't understand why The Sun is now posting this. The billionaire hinted at this controversial scheme in an early version of a 6,000-word manifesto about Facebook's future. Once the final long document was released to the public, all mention of it seemed to have disappeared. The long-term promise of AI is that in addition to identifying risks more quickly and accurately than would have already happened, it may also identify risks that nobody would have flagged at all, including terrorists planning attacks using private channels, people bullying someone too afraid to report it themselves, and other issues both local and global, he wrote on a version of the document given to the Associated Press. AI is going to power body cams. AI-powered body cams will give cops the power to Google everything they see. Facebook and Google using artificial intelligence. The military using artificial intelligence. Ladies and gentlemen, this world is about to get a lot darker real quick. Taser has started its own in-house AI unit, laying the groundwork for police body cameras that record fully searchable video evidence. So, of course, Google's going to index and use it to be searched, or be able to be searched. The police body camera industry is the latest to jump on the artificial intelligence bandwagon, bringing new powers and privacy concerns to controversial technology bolstered by the need to hold police accountable after numerous high-profile killings of unarmed citizens. Not black citizens, just citizens. We need to take the words, these racial words out of it. Seriously, we're all people. Now that tech is about to get smarter, last week, Taser, the stun gun company that has recently become an industry leader in body-mounted cameras, announced the creation of its own in-house artificial intelligence division. The new unit will utilize the company's acquisition of two AI-focused firms, Dextro, a New York-based computer vision startup, and Misfit, another computer vision company. Computer vision is very dangerous, previously owned by the watch manufacturer Fossil. Taser says the newly formed division will develop AI-powered tech specifically aimed at law enforcement, using automation and machine learning algorithms to let cops search for people and objects in video footage captured on body camera systems. Imagine a world where every video camera produced footage and was centralized in one system. Can you imagine how dangerous that is? Or how dangerous that would be? So cops now who wear body cameras, you see there was a twist to this body camera agenda. I want to thank you all for watching and listening. Please make sure you go to christiantruther.com. to get the latest news. God bless and carry on.